Welcome back, everybody, to the seventh episode of the Tiger View podcast. As always, it's Gavin and Dawson, and for those of you watching our video, you might see that I'm in a different area. So, yeah, I'm back home for the summer, back home in Georgetown. So, completed the year in Clemson, but yeah, I'm back home now. But anyway, just wanted to point that out if you were wondering. So, yeah, Dawson, we got a bunch to talk about, man, and this episode might get interesting. So, for those who are watching or listening, you might be in for a real good treat for this episode.
Yeah, definitely, especially with whatever we just watched a couple of hours ago. So
Yeah, so as always, I'm gonna break down the schedule for this episode. So first, we're gonna jump right into the baseball series, and then we're gonna go into a little bit of softball news there that we got this week, and then some other big news out of the football program. I'll kind of wait till we get to that, and then I'm kind of gonna jump back into baseball besides performance wise and talk about more of DKS stuff. And then Dawson is also going to kind of touch on the NBA playoffs. So as Clemson keeps their schedule keeps getting smaller and smaller, Dawson and I is gonna kind of add in some other things going on in the sports world. And then I'm gonna kind of briefly touch on the Braves as well, and then the week schedule for Clemson this coming up week. So yeah, let's get right into it. So the baseball series, yeah, I mean, this is Clemson's second straight series loss. Just kind of recapping the scores out of Tallahassee from this past weekend. 6-5 loss in 11 innings, that tough game one. And then Tigers ended up winning game two in 6-3, having to finish that game up earlier today. And then just what we witnessed here not too long ago, 20-9 loss in 8 innings, by the way, of the mercy rule. So, yeah, let's go into that, Dawson. Just what are your thoughts? And yeah, just see what you got to say.
Yeah, I guess I'll start on Friday's game. It was kind of tough to keep up with. I'm working and I'm kind of watching it on my phone, but the biggest takeaway for me is we couldn't finish the game. I mean, that was the biggest thing is, we had a 4-2 lead going into the ninth inning and we just couldn't close it out. Simple as that. It's the thing that we've been struggling, and also, not to mention what have we been struggling with all year that plagued us this entire series is scoring with runners on. I know we had Cam Cannarella who hit the Little League home run last night, but outside of that, we still struggled with runners on. Aiden Knock is able to go 5 2 innings. He only gives up 2 earned runs, which is pretty solid. But we got to start hitting. That's getting to be a serious problem. Early in the year, and even I would even say last week we could dismiss it as maybe an off week or say we're in a bit of a slump, but right now we're seriously struggling, and you've got to wonder how long is that going to follow this team around, and is that not the outlier but more the identity of this team that they just can't get big hits and they struggle to have that guy this year for them? Is that going to follow us into a regional and probably knock us out of it? I kind of tend to lean that way when you start to look at the way things are going, and you look at the way these guys are playing right now. It's just you're just not feeling really good about the future of this team unless something changes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I just feel like we're kind of like a broken record player now at this point, just saying how hitting with guys on base, especially runners in scoring position, just how they haven't been able to get the job done. But still, shout out to Cam Cannarella with that Little League home run, like you said, Dawson. I mean, a heck of a hit, scoring those runs, and then right there, once he was around the third base, he kind of slips and falls, and I was watching it, and I mean, I thought he was about to get tagged out, but luckily, he was able to make it home, and yeah, just great hit by Cam. And then also in that extra innings, Dominic Lisiti with the home run, pretty clutch home run. Usually don't see home runs out of Dom, so yeah, pretty good clutch there for him. But I mean, just couldn't get the job done. Ended up losing in 11 innings. I mean, gritty loss, but I mean, we got to do something, man. We got to get these jobs done, because I mean, like you said, you have to only think, will these problems come with us in the postseason? And I mean, if so, like you said, I mean, we could be an early exit in the regional, especially if we host, and that's not something you want to do whenever you're hosting a regional.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, especially like, the numbers from even Friday night's game of leaving guys on base jumps out to me. We have 12 guys on base. Then you when you consider it and you look at I guess you could say last night's game, which continued on to today. You only left 12 guys on. You won the game. You played really well, and it felt like you had the momentum of this series because you did that. If you would have lost, I guess we could say the game, we'll say game two. If you would have lost that game, you would have not only lost the series, but absolutely been floored coming into game three today, which felt like we ended up doing anyway. With this team, it feels like momentum doesn't even matter. You win a hard fought game two that goes into a Sunday, and then you totally blow it. You get blown out of the water today. You look like that you have no effort out there on the field. It just feels embarrassing that this team doesn't have an identity with as much pieces and as much talent as Eric Bakich has brought in, and that Coach Bellinger, how much work that he's put into this pitching staff. It's totally embarrassing to me that we have all these pieces and all these guys standing around here, and it feels like there's no identity to the team whatsoever.
Yeah, man. I will kind of hit on the bright spot though of the game. We were down 10-0 and ended up putting a five spot right there. Trying to think about in the fourth. Ended up putting a five spot back there to break the game down to only a 5-run deficit, and then later on we would cut it down to a 2-run deficit. So I mean, the guys have been showing some fight, but that's probably due with some help from the Florida State pitching as well. They were walking guys with bases loaded. I mean, they were hitting guys. So I mean, you can't always rely on someone else's pitching staff's mistakes for you to capitalize. You got to capitalize by hitting the ball, hitting with guys in scoring position. Like, you got to do jobs without getting kind of like a handheld out to you by another pitching staff. You got to show them that, hey, we're Clemson baseball. We're here to play, and we're not here to just get an easy win thanks to your mistakes. But I mean, yeah, man, just so much to talk about. I mean, you can go so many ways with this, but I mean, you always have to. I think the key thing besides just hitting with runners in scoring position is the pitcher, man. I mean, I know Talen Bell, he got the start today. We haven't seen him start in like an ACC series yet, so this was his first time getting put in that. But I mean, yeah, just kind of a tough little outing for Talen. I know we're always high on him, but I mean, that's what you got to do when you're a young star in the making, and you just got to be put in the fire and see what you can do.
I looked at Talen Bell starting today the same way that I looked at Chance Fitzgerald starting a couple of weeks ago, basically meaning that they did start Talen Bell, but they knew in their minds that BJ Bailey was coming in behind them. They weren't putting an expectation on Talen Bell to go six innings today against Florida State, and he didn't really pitch great today, but. To me, it wasn't so much about him not being. We've seen his. When he's at the top of his ability. When he pitched great against Georgia, this is not like it's a first time for him where it is a Chance Fitzgerald and he struggles, or a Chase Kick who comes out and gets totally blasted, gives up three home runs. Obviously, we would have wanted to see more for Talen Bell today, but to my knowledge and to my guess is that he was not the they knew he was not going to go long in this game. They're still kind of working him back, and they wanted to just throw him out there first on a game three just to see what we could get out of him.
Yeah, another thing I want to point out, we used nine pitchers today in the game. Nine pitchers is absolutely insane to me. And we also gave up six home runs in the game, with three right there in the eighth that ended up ending the game in run rule fashion. But yeah, we used nine pitchers today, man. Like, that's not a recipe for winning, if you ask me. But I mean, something's got to give. And I mean, I know we have the talent to do it, but just, I mean, we got to get somebody in there that's got that grit besides, Canuck. And I mean, I know Canuck hasn't been having his best stuff like he usually has, but I mean, we just got to get somebody in there who's got a fire up their alley.
And man, it sucks, but it really, I saw it on Twitter, but it really feels like it is true that every reliever that we see at these higher level schools are throwing in the mid to upper 90s. And it feels like Clemson doesn't have anybody that could do that. Especially now that we've moved Drew Titzwater to a starter's role, we don't have anybody that can come out of the bullpen and give us heat like that. And I have to, I do see a lot of criticism over Jimmy Bellinger and his inability to coach up these pitchers. And I do want to look at him and say, you know, he does need to perform better, but at the same time, I would also like to say that maybe we just don't have the talent to do that. You know, we don't have, it's not so much as a Jimmy Bellinger's problem, maybe as it is a recruiting issue, where we don't have the money to spend and we don't have the talent in the bullpen to be expecting guys to be pitching 97, 98 mile an hour consistently. So that's one thing I would say about people that will, you know, ask about the pitching staff. And, you know, if they want to criticize Jimmy Bellinger, that's 100% their right. I really wouldn't be upset at him for doing it just because of, you know, how this weekend looked and how certain pitchers have not, you know, have not performed to their expectation. But to me is I would probably look at recruiting, which is what it breaks down to overall. You know, Urban Meyer, when he was at Florida in 2008, when I can't remember the player he got asked a question about, and he flat out said it. He said that may have been a recruiting failure. And a lot of coaches, you know, deep down, they know it. They know guys are not good enough to play and perform at this level at a high level that we need. They know that, and you know, fans know it, but we just want to hold out hope, and fans just want to hold out hope that, hey, a guy like Justin Lagernick, he's going to turn it around. You know, he pitched really good in the fall. He pitched really good in preseason, and we get out there and we see him, you know, we see him kind of, you know, get by on some games, and we see him play okay against the Gamecocks, and we say, you know, maybe he's figured it out. But deep down, you know, we know that when we get into some real heat, I mean, it is bad. It's a bad look. What we saw against Ole Miss was probably closer to what he actually was compared to what we saw against, you know, South Carolina. So I think a lot of fans I want to say out there too is, you know, also evaluate how the pitching staff is coached and how this coaching staff has coached this team. But let's also remember that, you know, maybe we just don't have the talent right now. I just don't see it, to be honest, coming out of the bullpen. I don't see a lot of guys outside of Lucas Malmstead and a couple other guys. I don't see guys that are going to the MLB next year. I don't know how you see it, but that's just my opinion on it.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't just this year's issues. We've seen these issues last year and even the year before that. So these aren't new issues, but I mean, I couldn't agree with you more about just having guys who can kind of run it up there and just about our guys maybe not being as talented, but yeah, I mean, something's got to change there for sure, 'cause I mean, pitching wins you ball games. I mean, you can go a long ways and score as many runs as you want, but I mean, if the pitching isn't there, then I mean, you're not gonna find many wins, especially in big games. But yeah. So another thing I want to turn attention to that people noticed was Jaron Purifoy being out this weekend. He wasn't in the lineup, and I'm not gonna say that's an excuse for why we didn't win. But yeah, Jaron Purifoy was out of the lineup, and Jay Dillard would take his place at second. And then Jay Dillard ended up getting banged up there in the last game. Him and BJ Bailey ended up kind of colliding with each other on a bunt play, and McClatty ends up getting in there. But yeah, just hope everything's good with Jay Dillard. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of point that out with JP not being up in there.
Yeah, that play was stupid between the collision and BJ. But and I'm not calling either one of the players out for anything. And, you know, but at the end of the day, this is ACC baseball. You are a top five team. You have to communicate in situations like that. Not communicating is reasons why things like that happen. And there's the same reasons why guys run into each other in the outfield. I mean, that was a total clown show of what happened today. I mean, that was just embarrassing to see that. I'm glad that BJ Bailey came up okay. And, you know, we're still gonna have to wait to see what happened to Jay Dillard is, you know, what kind of condition is he in? I wish him totally the best, but I mean, that's what happens when you don't communicate. I mean, it's total embarrassment when, you know, that when you have to worry about injuries like that because guys aren't communicating. They're literally running into each other on bunts. I mean, just it's not gonna work. It's not going to work if you want to be the team that you think you are.
Yeah, something's definitely got to give with the Tigers. They're kind of hitting a little cold drought right now, but just to remind everybody on the record, we are now 32-14 overall and 14-10 in the ACC. And Dawson, you only got to think now with losing yet another series. I don't even think we're gonna get the top four bye anymore in the ACC tournament. So we might have to be kind of digging our way out through that tournament in Durham. But I mean, you were expecting us to get that bye with the top four teams, but now I don't even think we will now. I mean, after what I've been seeing the past 2 weeks, and I mean, I don't think we deserve it anyway. So yeah.
Not at all. Not at all.
Well, is there anything else you want to touch on baseball? I know we kind of had our talk about it.
No, I don't think I will. I think if we really, just kept talking about it, we could talk about it for days about the struggles of this team. So, no, I'm gonna leave that to another day.
Yeah, we definitely could, but I mean, just know we still love our Clemson baseball, but there's still a little bit of criticism we got to point out. But now shifting gears, I kind of want to talk on some softball news. So they didn't play this week; they already wrapped up their regular season, but they did end up clinching the number two overall seed in the ACC tournament. So they get a first round bye, and they will face the winner of Virginia and Louisville from the first round, and then while we didn't have any softball games this week, they sure kept us busy on the award side of things. It was either Monday or Tuesday, and award after award after award kept coming out, with these girls getting recognized, and I was just on it every time it came out. So just kind of want to highlight those awards from this past week. So freshman Macy Cintron, she was awarded the Softball America Star of the Week and also the D1 Softball Freshman of the Week. Just goes to show you how talented of a star Macy Cintron already is in her first year as a Tiger.
Yeah, definitely. And especially to speak on Brooke McCubbin, you said it that she won the NFCA National Pitcher of the Week, and she was the ACC Pitcher of the Week. Also, congratulations on her. She posted to Facebook about her graduation. It's rare, especially in the college landscape today, to find players like that that stick it out where they're from. And now I've been able to turn this team around from the beginning of the year now toward being the two seed in the tournament and getting the bye. I think there's a lot of hope for this team, for this softball team in the postseason. And hey, maybe they might outlast baseball. I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, I was talking with Charles about it the other day. I was saying, man, they're hot, but sometimes, whenever you have a little bit of time off, and even if you get a bye in a tournament, like I know I've seen many times in the past couple of years when the MLB postseason comes around and those top seeds get those first round byes, they end up not panning out. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen with John Rettman and the Tigers in the ACC tournament with them playing up there at Boston College. But another thing I do want to mention as well is that our whole infield was recognized by the Softball America in the May ranking. So Julia Noller, Maddie Moore, Marion Collins, and Alex Brown, they were all ranked in the positioning rankings for their certain positions. So just big congrats to those girls. I mean, it really shows how locked down our infield can be, or is actually.
Definitely, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so we're really excited about softball. Can't wait to see them get back and going this coming up week with the ACC tournament. All right. Well, now shifting gears, some big news from the week that I don't think anybody really saw coming. I know Dawson kind of had a bug in my ear about it, but Ian Shefflin, he's not playing basketball anymore for the Tigers. He's playing football. He's playing for Dabo Swinney, not Brad Brownell anymore. So Ian Shefflin, he's coming to play in Death Valley.
Definitely interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of ways you can look at this, and I want to have, in my mind, I'm thinking, he's gonna about to be Jimmy Graham. But look, to be realistic to all Clemson fans, and I don't think there's anybody out there that actually thinks that he's gonna be the starter, and he's not. He's gonna be a backup tight end, who at the worst provides motivation for the tight ends in front of him to be better. Because who on earth wants to get benched for a basketball player? And he probably can provide, honestly, if he works hard this summer and really goes all in on this, I could seriously see him having a role in this Clemson team. Is he going to be a big time starter and have 800 yards in a year? No. But does he have a chance to get in on some, goal line situations? Or does he have a chance to catch some red zone targets? Or, who knows? Maybe get in on some blocking downs. That would be really big. I mean, you can't teach 6'8", 240 pounds And for the other fan that would say, well, why didn't we just go to the portal? This is a dumb move. Be realistic. Tell me who you are going to find at tight end this late in the portal who is willing to be a third string tight end at the best and to take little to nothing compared to the market rate right now for a tight end in the portal. You're not going to find that. People want to just say, well, we should just go to the portal for this. We should go to the portal for that. We should go to the portal for this. And they don't understand that it is not like college. It is not like the video game. You cannot just throw hours and just throw some time at a player and he picks you. There are certain needs and wants that these players have in the portal. And if you're not going to be able to meet them, which in a situation like this, Clemson is not a place for a portal tight end. We do not have the. We can't guarantee the play time. We can't guarantee the money. I mean, this Ian Shep, I don't really see the negative effects of it. There's really not, to be honest. This is a low risk, high reward factor kind of deal. I mean, you had an open spot at tight end with Marcus Dixon moving over to defensive end. You're not having to go recruit a new tight end to come here, and you're not gonna. He's a 1 year rental. Is this a feel good story? I tend to not think so compared to what, a lot of fans on Twitter would say. I do think this is a interesting move to say the least. I heard about it probably a day or two before everything got put out. And, my first thought was, why? But the more I've done in a little digging into the situation and understood the outside and inside parts of it, I actually am really happy with it. Ian gets to stay another year in Clemson, and football gets to add a little bit more beef on that O-line. I guess you could say O-line with the tight end being on the end man of the line of scrimmage, and he's wearing 18. So what can you not like about it?
Yeah, another thing I do want to point out, I know Ipte, they're doing like their road show, and I think the one they just had was in Greenville, but they had Brad Brunell, Dabo, and Coach Poppy. But Dabo and Brunell was talking, just saying how Ian loves Clemson. He loves being in Clemson, so that's definitely something you want in a player who's playing for your program. Like you were saying, with the portal, we can go get a guy out the portal, but is he going to love Clemson? Is he going to be about the school and not just, I mean, being here for maybe a year or so, I know Ian's he loves Clemson, and my initial thoughts, I was starstruck, but then once I got reading more into it, like you were, I do realize that Ian does have a football background, so it's not like he's just coming in here, never played football before, just putting on the helmet and shoulder pads and just going out there and see what he could do. Now Ian's actually played football before, and quite special enough, he played at Grayson High School, and his high school teammate was no other than a former Tiger, Phil Moffa.
Yeah, definitely, and I kind of had a little bit of a callback here. Ian, it feels like Ian's kind of pulling a Rod Hall here. I don't, I really wasn't around to see all of that play out with Rod, but hey, we're here now, right? So we'll see how 2025 looks with Ian Shefflin on the roster.
Yeah, I can't wait to see till he's all suited up and seeing how big he looks in the football pads. So definitely something we're all gonna be looking out for as more football stuff comes around with the season inching closer and closer.
Definitely, definitely.
All right, so kind of jumping back into baseball, the baseball side of things, we're not gonna talk about performance. We're kind of gonna talk more about Doug Kingsmore Stadium. So for those of you who don't know, I wrote an article a week or two back, just talking about Eric Backer's vision of Doug Kingsmore Stadium and how it could be even better than it is now. So I know with the press conferences that Dawson and I has been into, that's just something he's touched time and time again. And I mean, I couldn't agree with him more. He's wanting to expand the seating in the stadium wherever that may be, and also improve the fan experience even more. I know they're kind of doing a better job with that now, with the guys going out there, shaking the hands of the veterans and doing all this other stuff for like kids, leading the team stretches and everything. And then Coach Backer just also mentioned something about having like the Battery in Atlanta, where the Braves play, kind of like that outside of the stadium, outside of Doug Kingsmore Stadium and even McWhorter Stadium, where fans can just enjoy stuff going on outside the ballpark, and just how the game inside could be fun, but it can be even funner outside as well. So, yeah, just what are your thoughts with that, Dawson, before I dive into it a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, I see his vision, and I really do. I like it, to be honest. I see it. You're wanting to draw in more people. You're wanting to draw in a bigger crowd. You're wanting to draw in excitement. And really, at the root of that is you're wanting to draw in more revenue. If you can get more people to start showing up to games, then hey, maybe we won't have to worry about a talent issue because we're then able to go out and get the best players in the country, and we're able to recruit at a high level because hey, we can say that we've got, 10,000 fans showing up to these games, and we've got, 7 or 8,000 consistently being here every time we play a game. And I'm kind of thinking about layout plans of where this stuff would happen. You've got a ton of room out there in right field. You could easily move that indoor hitting facility and the pitching lab that you have out there in right field, and expand beyond that because for people that don't know much about Doug Kinsmore and haven't been there or just haven't paid attention, there is a lot of land out in past right field. They have a little plyo set up. It's like a miniature field. It's all turf. And then they have a huge tailgating area, which where a lot of people that sit in the cheap seats in the Cajun Cafe will tailgate. And they may complain about it, but if you were going to add anywhere, you got room out there. Even before the softball facility and the softball field was built, you definitely had a lot of room to expand. You still got some of that space, but now you do have to kind of be a little careful where you're putting it. But overall, we are in a really good spot as far as location goes. I know a lot of high-level teams that don't have what we have. I just wish we could capitalize on it. But first, to capitalize on it is you got to have seats and butts. You got to have boosters writing checks faster than they can count. And all those things matter. But one thing I would say that would be an idea that I would float around is add premium seating, add box seats. And the easiest place I could say that is when you're in the press box and you're looking down on the field, there's area to the right of you, which extends from the end of the press box all the way to the indoor baseball lounge. You could remove the area there, which they have a TV camera set up there and a couple other seats, and you could transform that into premium seating, or box seats, whatever you want to do it. And I think that would be a good way to draw in big donors to start coming to games. Because right now, the only area that you have for premium seating is like right behind home plate. There's no air-conditioned area for them to sit.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. And there's definitely room for them to do that. And also, going the other way down like the left field line, I feel like there's room where they could build there, but just make sure they don't block out the Gervais junkies up there that be watching the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like they could definitely expand going down the left field line as well. But just to touch back on like the battery type thing you were talking about in right field, outside the stadium, there is plenty of room. And I know I do park there for baseball games, and I know that's also parking for football, and that's also an RV lot. But there's still a bunch of room for them to do stuff while also being able to keep that parking for football and baseball and softball. So definitely just something to watch out for within the next couple of years, because Coach Backich does really have a good vision, and I really feel like it's something that Clemson fans will come to light if it comes to light. And just talking about attendance too, Coach Baxter was saying just how they average about 5,000 a game or so. But like you were saying, Dawson, he wants to get up to that lucky number 10,000, and I really think it's a maintainable goal. So just definitely something you have to look out for within the next couple of years as money becomes a bigger thing with college athletics, and like you were saying with these boosters and donors from Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we don't give Eric Backich what he wants, and everything that he wants, to my opinion, is good for the school. There's nothing that he has on his priority list that's gonna put the school in a harmful position. Everything that he wants is to improve this school because to him, this is home. He coached here under Jack Leggett in 2002, and he wants to make this program great. So I think if we're not going to help him out, you'd hate to say somebody else will. So.
Yeah, let's hope not. But yeah, so if you're interested more in this topic, make sure you go check out the article I wrote on tigerviewmedia.com. It's still in there, ever in the baseball section. So if you got a little time to read, make sure you go check that out because it's definitely a good write-up. So now shifting gears away from Clemson stuff, we're going to talk a little bit of NBA playoffs. So I know Dawson's big in the NBA. I'm not too big into it. I do keep up with it, but I'm not as big with it. But yeah, Dawson, just kind of lead us there with what's going on in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, I'm gonna start off with game of the night. If game of the night, Sunday night, the Houston Rockets are playing Golden State Warriors in game seven. The Curry-led Golden State Warriors team has choked a 3-1 lead. Very familiar callbacks to what they did in 2016 against LeBron and the Cavaliers, and they're playing Houston. Golden State previously in previous years. And even in the James, really big in the James Harden eras, they really had the Rockets' number. They were always able to beat them. They were always able to eliminate them. But Fred Van Vliet, point guard for the Rockets, said that fans shouldn't they shouldn't be thinking about that. This is a totally different team. This is a different Rockets team. And when they fell down behind 3-1, a lot of fans just they had to accept it that. Maybe the Golden State Warriors really do own them. Maybe Steph Curry is the curse, but the Rockets have showed no quit. They've changed up defensive coaching. They've really been able to limit turnovers. They played really good basketball, and they dominated Friday night in Golden State in Game 6. They are looking to close this series out and win it at home at 8:30 Eastern time on TNT. So I know we won't get this episode out by the time that game starts, but that is a big game for me to watch. I also want to say that the Pacers and Cavaliers are playing right now in the first game of the second round. Indiana's up right now. It's getting interesting over there. The Cleveland has 64 wins on the season. They're one of the best teams in the league the entire year. They pretty much dominated throughout the first round, but I think this could be an interesting series. Indiana is a scary team. They got Pascal Siakam. He's playing really well for them right now. At halftime, he's got 13 points. Teams like that are dangerous. They're really dangerous. They can punch you in the mouth if you're not worried about or if you're not paying attention to them. Similarly to how the Warriors have punched the Rockets in the mouth a little bit this series, the Warriors coming in as a seventh seed. Houston is a 2.5 point favorite according to the ESPN spread. A total of 205.5 points is the bet line, and then Golden State plus 100 is the money line. So that is going to be a really interesting game that once we finish wrapping up filming, I cannot wait because I'm a diehard Rockets fan. I don't think anyone knows that about me, but that is a huge thing that I care about. And I think it's really good that we're now getting to expand and talk about other sports now with the Clemson schedule closing down.
Yeah, I was about to ask you if you were a Rockets fan because I've seen all the stuff you posted before, but you just clarified it there. But yeah, I'm definitely gonna have to check that out because there's really nothing else going on. I was watching the NASCAR race earlier. I've kind of been big into NASCAR this year, but we can kind of talk about that in another episode. But yeah, definitely go check out the NBA playoffs if you have nothing else going on this fine Sunday evening. So anything you want to add there on the NBA front, Dawson?
I feel like it would be wrong not to touch on it, but the Nuggets do eliminate the Clippers in seven games. So they're gonna be moving on. The four seed Nuggets are gonna be moving on to the second round to play against Oklahoma City Thunder. Kawhi Leonard finishes the game with 22 points. Ivica Zubac has 14 rebounds, and James Harden has 13 assists with two turnovers. I do want to say that that Clippers team was not supposed to do a lot this year. They had a They were projected 36.5 under wins this year, and they finished with 50 wins. They missed Kawhi Leonard almost half of the year. So really they were just kind of left for James Harden and crew to play. James Harden was their leader this year. I don't think there's any denying that. He's 35 years old, and he really carried this team this entire year. There's really no way else you can look at it besides that they just ran out of gas coming down the late part of the year. Game six, they played really well all night. James Harden especially played 47 minutes at 36. I was watching the game and it really felt like he played 48. I couldn't find the 1 minute he missed, but Hats off to them. They exceeded expectations, but the Nuggets will be moving on. They're going to be facing Oklahoma City. My official prediction for that is Oklahoma City wins in six. So you heard it first right here.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm definitely gonna have to check that out. I definitely love watching some postseason sports. So, 'cause it always gets pretty feisty. But yeah, definitely check that out. If you ain't got anything going on. But, kind of shifting gears, I want to talk on the Braves. I know you might have a little Braves fans on that be listening to us. So, I kind of want to touch on that. So the Braves are coming off a road trip. They ended up going to Arizona to play the Diamondbacks, and then went over to Colorado to play the Rockies, and in that road trip they went 4-2, and you kind of had to think that the Braves were kind of turning it around. They were one game within coming at 500, but then the road trip ended, and they had to go back home to Truist to play no one other than the defending World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers. So it's kind of been a tough series for the Braves. I mean, you kind of thought it was going to happen. But yeah, they played tonight on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. So they ended up losing the series last night. Shohei Ohtani went off. Freddie Freeman, I mean, he's always gonna hit good in a Braves ballpark. I hate to see him playing for the Dodgers, but that's just the way things roll. But yeah, the Braves play tonight on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. It'll probably be going on after the podcast has been released. So yeah, make sure you're also checking out some MLB stuff. And if you are interested in the Braves, we also have a sister site. It's called Braves Chop Report. So it's just like Tiger View Media, except it's solely on the Braves. So we're always going to be giving you the best news from there with game recaps, previews, and other stories coming from the Braves. So make sure you go check us out at BravesChopReport.com and also on social media as well.
Yeah, and one thing that I want to touch on the Braves is, they started out really bad this year, but they've kind of clawed back a little bit. They're still 7 games back from the Mets, and they're 4 games under 500 right now. But to me is that I think this team has certain pieces that it needs to, claw its way into a postseason appearance. Do I think they're good enough to, go deep this year? I don't, to be honest, but I do think they have the ability to get into the playoffs, and that is really important because, hey, when you get in, there's no telling what could happen. Think the 2019 Nationals, a team that was left for dead closing in on the All-Star break, who turned themselves into a World Series champion. And who knows, if you get around that trade deadline with a lot of hope, maybe Double A is forced to make some moves like he did in 2021. So you just never know how this is going to play out. It's a long season. They played really well in Colorado, which was good to see, but they kind of got a little embarrassed by the Dodgers last night. So we're hoping they can bounce back today.
Yeah, you touch on just them getting into the postseason. Like I was saying earlier, like you never know with those top teams getting those byes. I mean, you got these teams who are coming straight out of the regular season and going straight into the postseason, and if they catch fire, they catch fire, and sometimes they'll even knock down those big powerhouse teams who ended up getting that bye. So definitely something that could happen for the Braves. Like you said, Dawson, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. So the MLB season's a long season. 162 games, and I mean, you just got to take it one game at a time, and you never know what might happen. So, just definitely keeping up with the Braves if you are a Braves fan. But another thing I kind of do want to mention is MLB fans and even Braves fans, in particular. I just feel like people get so big into football that they want immediate impact, immediate success, but they gotta kind of take that same mentality into baseball, and they're like, "What's going on? What's going on?" Like, you have to give it some time with baseball. Like, baseball is a game of patience. Baseball is a game of failure. I've always been told that baseball is a game of failure, but you just have to stay patient, especially with teams like the Braves, who just might not ha be having a good start that you think they will, but just keeping up with them, and just don't lose hope, because you never know what might happen. Just like you said a minute ago, Dawson.
Definitely, definitely.
All right, well, kind of wrapping up like we always do. We want to go over the week schedule for Clemson. So back on Clemson. So another light week ahead. We only have baseball and softball really left remaining. So baseball this week, they have a midweek game, and it's kind of a tough midweek game. They're playing the number 19th ranked Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. I know it's kind of down here close to us, Dawson. So we'll definitely be checking in on that. And then they also have their final weekend series at home versus Duke, who is always a pretty tough opponent in the ACC. And then shifting over to softball, like you mentioned, they are now in ACC tournament play. They will be playing the winner of Virginia and Louisville at 5 p.m. on Thursday. So yeah, we're slowly wrapping up, but just I kind of want to get your thoughts real quick on the baseball midweek against Coastal.
Honestly, they better come out guns blazing. If they drop this Tuesday game, there's going to be a lot of people upset. And not to say that it is a must-win game because it's not, but to me is it's going to be a statement win. This is a really good Coastal team that you already lost to once this year. So you really, in my opinion, you need to win this game and really need to win the Duke series. That's going to be a big deal, Mother's Day weekend. So you need to finish strong if you're the baseball team. Softball, you need to play this tournament really well and get ready to see where you're going to be seated. But overall for both teams, when you hit the postseason, it's regular season doesn't matter. Whatever you did in those first however many games are totally irrelevant. It's a new season, new team where no matter who you are, you could lose in your own regional, or you could be a sleeper team, which, the national media might not pick Clemson as a bit of a sleeper Omaha team, but I'm going to go on a hunch and say that they are, because I don't think they're as good as a couple other Omaha bound teams that I know. But I think Clemson is a, when you mix them the right way and when they're playing at their best level, they could definitely get into that Omaha 8. So we're definitely going to be looking forward to seeing if that happens.
Yeah, definitely ready for some postseason ball and with college softball and college baseball. So yeah, it's right there on the horizon. So get ready because I already know it's gonna be crazy. So yeah, just hoping it goes well for the Tigers.
I'm already ready for the overreactions, no matter what happens.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, anything you wanna add, Dawson?
There's not, to be honest. I think we hit it all today.
Yeah, man, another episode's coming and going. It's crazy how quick these weeks get turned around. We're already back filming again. So yeah, this has been the seventh episode, man. So we just keep bringing them out and make sure you keep following along because me and Dawson, we're gonna try and go through the summer and kind of hit on some other sports besides Clemson. So if you're a big fan of just sports in general, just make sure you keep in touch with us.
Definitely, definitely.
All right, well, that'll do it, everybody. Just want to say thank you for watching. Those who are watching the video on YouTube, we thank you. And then also our audio listeners, whoever, wherever you may listen, whether it's Apple, Spotify, whatever, we just want to thank you for listening on audio. And just make sure you tune in next Sunday for what me and Dawson have in store for you. So, yeah, with that, it's been the Tiger View Podcast with Gavin and Dawson. See you, everybody, and go Tigers.